For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Mahalo and kia ora na, and welcome to Nijin Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my Cook Island Koi. Tēnā Arona, to go through all the rugby league and rugby union news from across the Pacific Tea. It is great to have you back. A week has gone by, and I understand we might be a little bit flat after Wednesday night's performance, but we will pick it up because I know you've got some positivity to help us look forward to the next Origin game.
Yeah, it's a, how can I say it, a cloudy Friday here in Sydney, and it does not match the energy.
That's a great way to put it, a cloudy Friday.
Cloudy, yes.
It's not doom and gloom, but it is a
little
bit cloudy.
Not blue skies yet, hopefully in a couple of weeks.
I like what you've done there.
Kia ora to all our listeners and welcome to Nijin Footy. Today we have another big show for everyone listening. We have our superstar NRLW player Sala Tongatuki joining us to talk about the game. She's also got some updates in the NRLW space, and then we'll be catching up around her thoughts on the Aruna Cup, Roosters versus the Sharks in round 16 this weekend. No Namani,
no
Nondolo, Kurunjani.
Couldn't get Campo either. They're both over in Fiji helping prepare their under-20s team for the World Cup that's coming up. So we couldn't get them
on. So you've had to do your prep this morning.
Yes, I've had to do some homework.
Okay.
Get it sorted. But it's going to be good.
Because Super Rugby, we have what?
The GF this week.
The GF, the big game, the big dance.
The Hurricanes take on the Chiefs. So this is going to be a cracking game. So make sure you hang around for that chat and how I unpack that one. And let you know my thoughts on who's going to be the new champions.
And then before we get to all that great stuff, we will dive deep into Wednesday night's game. Game 2, State of Origin, New South Wales Blues versus Queensland. Maroons played in Melbourne. And like I said before, it's not a happy day for us Blues fans, but there is hope. And there's some.
Are you sure?
There is plenty of hope.
Are you going to give our listeners some hope?
Yes, there is. But we'll dive deep into this game within in a lot of detail.
All right.
Very shortly.
Sweet, sweet. Well, let's get into it.
Hey, it's Payne Hussey from the Brisbane Broncos. You are listening to Nijin Footy.
Yeah, big man.
Big Payne Hussey.
Big Payne Hussey. Please stay on the field longer. Come on, coach. Leave him on. Look, the score was 44-24 to Queensland. Sammy, what were your thoughts when you first watched the game? After the game at the full-time whistle, give me your initial thoughts.
You know, T, with the hype and all the chat around the eligibility rules, talking about the combinations with Adam Fanua-Blake partnering with Payne Haas, Haumole Olakau'atu, I was really excited, like, leading into this series, like, man, we're going to see some big men get after it. And after seeing Haumole get dropped and then seeing Payne come back in and Adam go to the bench and seeing Adam only play 8 minutes for whatever reason and just, I was just confused. I was a little bit disheartened with the fact that I really wanted to see those combinations work. And I feel like from a preparation point of view, I just don't know. Again, I'm not a rugby league expert, but I just felt like one team really knew their identity on how they wanted to play with the Queensland Maroons. And the other team was still trying to figure out how they need to be connected and what they were trying to do out there.
Let's start with the Blues. Where did the Blues go wrong? In my view, I think the coach, Laurie Daly, head coach, made some strange decisions or questionable decisions leading into this game and then also during the game. I thought Haumole Olakau'atu was a big miss, and after watching the game, it's like, well, there you go. He should have been playing.
You know what that's like? As a player, as an opposition player, when even if he's not in the best form or whatever, but you know what he's capable of, there's something in the corner of your eye where you're just watching oh man, this is going to be a tough one. Like you've already planted the seed in the opposition's head that this is going to be a tough game. And then when he's not there, it's sort of like it's a sign of relief.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the other player is not going to do a job, but it's just the presence of someone like Hamole strikes fear in players.
And the Blues need to score points. And what Hamole does for Manly, he adds that threat with his running game, but also his offloading game. He does have nice soft hands. So he'll create opportunities. I think that was one. Keeping Api Korosel on the bench for the whole game and not inserting a player like Api to, you know, create opportunities and hold the markers and be, you know, come out of the dummy half to create more options for attacking players and the Blues.
When would you have put him on? At what point in that game?
There was one stage where Mark Nawanganitawase scores a second try. They're down by 8, still chasing points. That would have been the perfect time to, you know, bring him on. Even at the 30-minute mark where, you know, Blues have control of the game, Cam Munster actually gets the head knock and has to go into that's HIA. Right. Like, that's an opportunity where you put someone like Api on and then it just creates options. And then that will lead to points. And even how he gets out of dummy half, and we'll get to Harry Grant and his performance shortly, but the way that they get out to give hold the markers and hold the A defenders, you know, creates fast rucks, and off fast rucks become you create points. So
that's such a good point, too. Honestly, when Cam Munster went off, time to see what Queensland are made of by chucking someone like Uppy in there and test them a bit, test their resilience. Mm-hmm. But when Cam Munster was off, you actually didn't even really notice he was off. Like, Queensland handled that seamlessly.
And we'll get to Billy's coaching masterclass very shortly, because I thought that would play a big role when Cam Munster did come off. But with the Blues, I think next game they'll need to, or in this game, they didn't take them high calculated risks. Yeah, I think when you look at when Katoni Staggs offloads, there's a high risk of a mistake, and that's where they had the error. Whereas when you look at Queensland, when they did pass the ball, move the ball, you know, there was risk, but it was a high percentage play where it will come off, like it's most likely going to come off. And from that, you know, they get quick play of the balls, and a lot of the tries, other than that very nice scrum play that the Queensland done,
yeah.
A lot of their tries were off, you know, them chancing their arm a bit, but it was a high calculated chance.
And when you play that high risk footy, you have to have confidence within your preparation to allow for those mistakes that will happen at training. Because, again, when I compare league to rugby union, like rugby union, when it's free-flowing, like that's what the game looks like. Ball in play, bodies in motion, and you have to create space through keeping the ball alive. And that's what the two teams on this Saturday for Super Rugby Pacific, that's what they're very good at. That's why they're in the grand final. And for Queensland to be able to have the license to be able to go out there and play, it was like it was a breath of fresh air just to see them do that. And then when you saw Mark, you know, it was just a simple offload back on the inside to Katoni Staggs. But that's what you're talking about, isn't it, T?
Yeah.
Being able to have that risk to go, opportunity, 4 players on me, 3 players on me, get that ball away.
Well, Mark goes, the Queensland prop drops the ball. Mark picks it up. He's like, oh, sweet, free play. What he does was he poked his head through. He goes, I've got an offload opportunity here. There's also we're going to get the ball if it doesn't come off because the Queensland players dropped it. All right, here you go. Try and create something. And off the back of that, you know, Katoni Staggs ends up scoring a try. Same as when Nathan Cleary puts that little grubber in, ricochets. Now he's like, okay, sweet, an opportunity. Second phase play. He ends up throwing the long ball to...
So true. It's on transition.
Yeah.
You know, when the defence isn't structured and don't have time to get set and get up, get off the line. So in the modern day game, do you feel like it's just not enough to just complete anymore? You could have a high completion rate and you can try and have that battle of attrition and go forward. But that's, for me, watching that game, it's not enough anymore. You have to play.
And that's where the Blues, my final point on, you know, where the Blues go wrong, they focused on starting well, which I thought they'd done awesome. Like defensively, they controlled the middle. The line speed was there. They were getting out of their own end. Their forwards were going forward. Payne Haas was getting his hands on the ball. But what they done when they got all that pressure, they didn't capitalize on that pressure. Yeah, they didn't move the ball. They didn't try and create opportunities. Now, go back to game one when Queensland early in the game, they were winning those opportunities. Then they started to move and capitalize on all that pressure that they were putting on the Blues. So,
and Billy said that in his commentary after too, around the reason for game one compared to game two, it's like they stopped playing. He goes, game two, don't stop playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter if you got this lead, keep playing, keep playing,
keep
playing.
Put the foot down.
Yep.
Which leads us nicely into Queensland. And if you are joining us, you are listening to Nijan Footy with Tiniro Aruna and Sammy Wykes. Queensland, what did they do well?
I thought you were going to go Queenslander.
What did Queensland do well on Wednesday night?
Yeah, I think we definitely touched on it. I just think their ability to just play footy and understand that their big players stood up. I know you're going to talk more about Harry Grant and the detail around it, but just from a punter just watching it, a fan just watching it, just look, one team was just all in sync, and guys like Ponga wanted to inject himself and be able to not just finish, but create.
Mm.
And I just think that was the biggest difference.
I think Billy Slater will go down as one of the best Origin coaches when he's finished, because one, as a player, he knows what that environment's like. He knows what state of Origin footy's like. So he knows what it's like to represent Queensland. It looks like he knows how to get the best out of every player that he selected. His coaching decisions during this game, when Cam Munster come off, Reece Walsh stands up. Now, everyone thinks Reece Walsh is going.
I'm thinking he's on.
That's an easy switch.
He is in.
Oh, sweet.
Yes,
this is the opportunity.
See more points.
And you see Reece Walsh put the headphones on. Billy's obviously talking to him, and he's like, yeah, giving the thumbs up. And I could only imagine Billy saying, look, if Cam Munster fails, you might possibly end up going on. But at this stage, we're going to go off Max Plath.
So that would have been Ponga probably going to six and then Reece
out the back. What he'd done was he put Max Plath on as halfback. And
bit of smoke and mirrors, you think? Just get the crowd excited?
Yeah, it worked out perfectly because Cam Munster, you know, passed his HIA test and then he comes back onto the field. So big decision there. But also after the game, the reaction that I seen from Reece Walsh wasn't a heads down or... He was actually happy that Queensland won. He was there high-fiving the boys, had a lot of energy. But that's only because Billy Slater has done something in that environment to get everyone to buy into the state first, to the team first, to the jersey first.
It's just got me thinking about that. Like, I know Laurie Daly has played at the highest level. He was a fantastic player, but it was so long ago that half of these players weren't even born when he was there. But for someone like Billy and Thurston, seeing Thurston on the sideline, he was a fan to Selwyn Cobbo after the game. Like, just like his reactions.
Nate Miles.
Nate Miles was
one of the, I think he's the only player that played in every eight in a row series.
There you go. So when you think about those players, no one's bigger than those players.
Yeah.
So like you can come in with your personalities. You could be on $2-3 million, whatever it is. But when you come into that camp, you don't have that aura like those coaches have. So straight away, there's humility and understanding that, hey, this what you spoke about on Monday, I think Queensland do get it more.
Yeah, and that Queensland spirit is driven from players that have been involved in that environment. So there was another moment at halftime, you know, they're down, they go in, and you just see their whole team locked into Billy Slater's speech, and he's just there talking through, obviously, what they need to do next. Another, when I talk about Billy and how he gets the best out of the players, who would have thought Jojo Fifita would be playing one state of origin, but also playing some good footy in that arena?
And we'll be honest too, when Jojo got named on the wing, we were unsure, like, because I guess we don't watch the Titans as much.
Yeah.
Like, thinking, really? Like, is, okay, all right. I mean, he must be doing something well, but like, we were, yeah, unsure on how he was going to perform on that big stage.
How he carried the ball, created space, and then, you know, just put himself in those positions to execute, score a try. Selwyn Cobbo. Then we move on to Selwyn Cobbo. The way that
he was moved on from the Broncos.
From the Broncos. Couldn't even make the grand final team.
Everyone thought his career was gone. Done.
Now he comes back. He scores three tries. And if he plays a similar game in game three, I think he's up there for player of the series, Selwyn Cobbo. Or if not, it'll be possible. If Queensland do win, I reckon it'll be out of Selwyn Cobbo or Sam Walker to take out the series.
Made impressive, but can you talk to me about Harry Grant? I saw some of the stuff he did out of dummy half, but again, like talk to me around, say, like, I think it was Liero's try. You know, when they made that line
break. Queensland's first try, yep.
When they make that line break down the edge, it's fifth tackle. Everyone thinks it's probably going to go to a kick. But to have the awareness to do
his
what he
awareness.
Did.
His rugby league IQ is just growing by the year. And he's at a level where, and Matt, he was also coached and got to follow Cameron Smith. So Cameron Smith being
Shadow's one of the best.
The best, if not the goat when it comes to the hooker position. But in that play, the hammer goes down, makes a break. James Tedesco, fullback, has to make the tackle. He goes down and gets up. Now, automatically, the whole team, the Blues team, have to get back on side. So they're kind of scrambling. But after a break, what teams will do is trying to spread the ball because everyone has to tighten up defensively.
And I saw that from the outside. From the middle in, I'm seeing Yo trying to get in, and then I'm seeing Cam Murray and Payne Huss, they all sort of tie in a bit.
Yeah, so defensively, you have to look after the ruck, and then you work hard from the inside. So there's space on the outside. As he recognises James Tedesco going back to try and cover in the fullback position, instead of Harry Grant moving the ball long and passing a wide pass to Sam Walker or Cam Munster, he sneaks down the short side. Then the defence has to come even more so tighter. Then he gets the ball away, and then that's when Cameron Munster throws the over-the-top basketball pass, and then it leads to a try underneath the sticks because the way that Harry comes out, and he done it throughout this whole game, where the markers could not switch off. And when they did switch off, he's running through and making breaks. And he got Nathan Cleary. When Nathan Cleary,
Cleary get done like that. One of the smartest players in the game, for him to understand that simple role of it, as you said, hips, shoulders getting to Harry Grant's outside.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, hang on a tick, thank you.
And what that does, it means that the defense can't fly up on the players that he's passing it to. So when a middle's running off him, the markers have to look after Harry first, and then when the ball goes, then they can go and put pressure on the ball player. Unfortunately, when you've got a player like Harry, you can't switch off. So he's generating, just him being there and his awareness, he's generating quick play of the balls for the people outside of
him. You know what I liked about that clip as well, when you watched it in slow-mo, and you just see his eyes.
Yeah.
You're watching his eyes, it's obviously facing to where he's going to pass it, and he's just got a natural feel. He just that one glance where in a split second, see Nathan Cleary get on his outside shoulder and just goes,
and then Harry goes, see you later. And then Lindsay Collins.
Like you have to train that again and again to get a feel of the game. So I thought he was so impressive.
Yep. And then, so I love the combination between the nine, Harry, Sam Walker, Cameron Munster, Kalen Ponga. They are going to be a big threat in a few weeks' time up in Queensland. But if New South Wales are to give it a good crack in a few weeks, and I said there will be hope. Now, there are some weapons that are hopefully in the next couple of weeks get some game time. If these players are fit, we could see Latrell Mitchell, Stephen Crichton, Tom Trbojevic, Liam Martin, and you throw Hamole Olakau'atu in there as well. Those five players did not play on Wednesday night. You add them to the team, I think you see a different vibe, energy.
That is
fair in Queensland. That gives hope to New South Wales.
That is crazy hearing those names and them not being in there. Like, superstars ready to come back. And you just talk about aura. You talk about big personalities that, like, oh, boys, we've got this.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want going into camp.
It's like, we've been there before. We know how to get it done. Let's go out there and get the job done. Cam Murray, I think that he needs more minutes. I think that he creates a lot of quick play the balls. And then you need to have Blake Brayley or Api Korosel come on and, yeah, around that 30-minute mark to create opportunities. So,
well, I don't think Blake will be. He's broken.
No, I think he's got it. I think he might be looking at a test his broken arm.
Yeah, okay.
And he could potentially be a chance. A
big Mal Meninga forearm guard.
Yeah. But yeah, if Latrell Mitchell, Stephen Crichton, Tom Trbojevic, and Liam Martin are good, and Hamole Olakau'atu, if they're all injected to this team, I think we see a lot of positive signs for New South Wales Blues in Game 3.
Oh, man, I hope so, T. There's some big names there ready to come back, and hopefully we can see a New South Wales victory in Queensland. But just to sort of touch on the development pathways coming through, it wasn't actually a good week for New South Wales, was it?
It was an awful week.
There was some other State of Origin games.
Yes,
that were played last night in the age groups.
Yeah, we had the State of Origin under-19s in both the boys and girls. And what a shock. Queensland won both of them. So great work to both of them. The men's or the boys under-19s team, the Queensland team won 28 points to 14. And in the women's under-19s game, Queensland won 22 points to 18. So a clean sweep for the Queenslanders this week. And look, I think Blues just need to find a way. Hopefully we learn our lessons and the coach can hear our voices.
Let me hear.
Come on.
Just a big shout out to two players in that New South Wales side that we've had on the show, Roman Tuamolo.
Yep.
He was on here not long ago, and Anthony Large.
Anthony Large.
They played in that 19s game. So they have I know they would be hurting about that 19s game, but they have a big future ahead. Hopefully we can see them on the big stage very soon.
Stay tuned to Nijan Footy. We do have Sala Tonga Tuki very shortly, and we will talk about the Aotearoa Cup, Roosters versus Sharks, but round 16 is kicking off this evening. The Knights will be playing the Dragons in Newcastle. Tomorrow on Saturday, we'll have the Tigers playing the Dolphins, the Titans playing the Panthers, and the Bulldogs playing the Manly Sea Eagles. And then on Sunday, we have the Storm versus the Raiders, Roosters versus Sharks, and you'll never believe it, Sammy.
Let me guess, you're on another trip, because I can see the Waz are playing Christchurch at the home of the Crusaders. And you're going, aren't you?
I'll be heading over to New Zealand this weekend to watch the Warriors versus the Cowboys in Christchurch.
You're good, mate. You're good. I used to be the person that was on a trip away every second week. Now it's
no. This isn't the work trip though. This is just to go enjoy some footy. No.
Hey, are you back on Monday though?
I'm here for Monday, mate. Okay, sweet, Come on.
Okay, that's all good. That's all.
Radio, don't sleep. But remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia, and that is us for rugby league. Before we get to Sala Tonga Tuki, let's jump over to Rugby Union, a huge game this weekend. The big dance, Sammy, talk us through it.
Nissan Bulavinaka, my name is Kempisi Maafu. You're listening to Nijan Footy Podcast. Hope you enjoy.
Yeah, Vinaka Kempo, all the best with your Fijian team boy in the in the World Cup. Set, Vinaka. Now, it is Super Rugby Pacific Grand Final. Hurricanes will take on the Chiefs in Wellington. This game's going to be a cracker. The best attacking teams will be going at each other to see who will be crowned the champions. And when I think about this game, I'm thinking about the heartbreak of the Chiefs. The last three grand finals, they have been involved and they have lost.
They've been in the last three.
Last year against the Crusaders, 16-12 loss. 2024, the Blues got a hiding, 41 points to 10. 2023, they lost to the Crusaders, 25 points to 20. And then 2022, they lost the semi against the Crusaders. So they've been there for a long time. They say you've got to lose one to win one.
They've lost three.
They've lost three in a row. And so there's this weight on their shoulders around, are they capable of going to that next level?
And it's played in Wellington. When was the last time Chiefs won? Was it when Sonny Bill played?
Oh, good question. I think it was, actually.
Back-to-back champs,
2012, 2013, because 2011 was the Reds.
Oh, so he was 2012, and then he come to Roosters, and they won again in 2013.
I'm pretty sure.
I remember something come up on my socials where Sonny went up and got his medal.
Yes.
And they said the first time that they've ever won.
Yeah, I hated playing against the Chiefs back then. They were brutal. And then for the Hurricanes, you know, they finished on top of the table, and the last time they won the grand final was back in 2016 against the Lions, the South African team, who are no longer in Super Rugby anymore. They won that one back in 2016. And then when I look at the round games this year, round 10, the Chiefs got over the Hurricanes 22 points to 17. So this game is going to be a close one. It will go down to the wire. And I just can't wait to see the attacking weapons. Some of the tries that these two teams have scored this year, genuine highlights reels. And if they were in rugby league, these highlights, 5 million views. But because it's on the rugby union platforms, it doesn't get the views it deserves when it comes to the hype reels.
You know what's crazy is that, I know I'm going to go back to rugby league, but
that's all good.
I caught there early on on Monday that there would be a highlight reel on Mark Nawanganitawase, and we didn't even mention him during the Origin chat. But his touches, his thing in the corner, when he goes back to Union, I don't know if it gets the same attention, but I don't even know where I'm going with that.
No,
but anyway.
I'm with you with Marky. Just to touch on him, you know, his little stutter, step, goosey. Like it looked like he was just playing in the backyard, my friend.
He had about 2 metres to work with to get the ball in, and then four defenders come in.
How
good.
We're still
down.
Talking Origin in the rugby union chat. Love it.
Mark Morgan is a union. He's going back. But
yeah, that's how we do it,
man. Talking about highlights, are we talking about
those kind of highlights?
Okay,
exactly.
Those ones.
Those type of highlights, and we're going to see that for sure. But I think where this game is won and lost, it will be in the forwards. Whichever forward pack dominates the most, I think that, along with good discipline, I think it's going to allow the team to get on the front foot and use those strike weapons, because their ability to play expansive, like the Hurricanes, they can play from anywhere, and they can hurt you at any time through any opportunity that they see.
Mm. Does the home field advantage for the Hurricanes mean much? Like, does it have a big advantage?
If it was an Australian team, I'd say yes. It would be very hard for an Australian team to go to Wellington and try and come close to the Hurricanes. But I just believe that the Chiefs, if there's going to be a game where they don't really care about where they play, just because of the heartbreak and hurt that they've had the last 3 years,
yeah,
I just reckon they're just going to go over there with steel. And making sure that their guys like Sami Penifinau, Samsoni Taukiaho, Tupou Vaa'i, Quinn Tupaia, those type of players, Damian McKenzie, I just think they're just going to go in there, not caring, mate. It could be played in the backyard. It could be played in the car park. They're going there with a steel edge.
And I only say that because we've spoken about the Crusaders' legacy, and when they play at home, they haven't lost a finals match at home.
At home.
But Hurricanes have, and it takes me back to the Highlanders when they beat them at home.
Where Lima broke the hearts.
But yeah, so interesting to hear that Chiefs, you know, may not have an
effect.
I
don't think Chiefs have an aura about them where I don't think it doesn't matter where they play. And when I look at probably again some of the differences between these sides, I would say the Chiefs still have that structure to their game around lineouts. They still like to have a structured game where they'll kick to the corners and they'll like to play off their maul, off their peel plays, still like to scrum from penalties, and especially midfield scrums. They're very good at scoring points from midfield scrums. They still have that about them, whereas the Hurricanes, they're just willing to play from everywhere. Like they've got a lower... compared to line-out stats, they're very good at winning line-outs, but they don't have as much compared to the Chiefs. So, yeah, it's going to be but in saying that too, though, the Chiefs have the ability to play off turnover ball. So if the Hurricanes are going to play expansive with a little bit more risk, they have to really look after their breakdown and really execute on their skills, because the difference compared to probably the other teams, where the Chiefs are very good at turnover attack.
Who's the player to watch from each team?
Well, I reckon I'm going to be biased towards the forwards. I will say for the Hurricanes, I'll say Du Plessis Corifi, their number seven.
Yep.
He's an inspirational skipper. I think someone like him, Samoan heritage, I think he's like a mini Artie. Same type of vibe, same type of aura. He'll get his team up.
When you say mini, is he just a smaller Artie?
Yeah, smaller Artie, okay. Yeah, like, but big quads. Have you seen his quads? Holy.
So low to the ground.
Yeah, and just good footwork. Very hard to stop in the tackle.
Yep.
They call, you know, the inside part of your knee, the VMO.
Yep.
You call that the teardrop. Big teardrops.
He's got big teardrops.
Big teardrops. Okay. There.
And then for the Chiefs?
For the Chiefs, I'll be looking at Samsoni Taukiaho, their hooker, Like, he's very good in the tight stuff, very good in open space too. So he's a guy that can beat you with footwork. He's 120 kilos, but he's also got a good passing game on him.
Like a Harry Grant type, bring just him all in and then
bigger. But bigger. So okay. He's got that in the edge. But obviously their backs are very, very destructive as
then
well.
Then as a fan then, when you want to watch the highlights, who are we looking out for?
Finau Ngonofo. I think
for Chiefs,
for the Hurricanes, for the Hurricanes. He's desperate to break the try scoring record for most tries in a
that's
season.
That's the one that played. No, he's not the one that played for the Moana.
No, not him. But he's the other guy for the Chiefs that we look for, Karen Tamoifalau.
Okay.
So yeah, there's some finishes on both sides. Looking forward to this one, and I hope it is high scoring, high entertaining.
Who wins?
I'm going the Chiefs for the upset.
You go on the Chiefs. Okay.
I'm going the Chiefs. I think that's going to be the upset. Everyone's looking at the Hurricanes, and I'll be very surprised if the Hurricanes do let this one slip. But I just believe if they're going to drop a game, it's going to be this one against the Chiefs. But anyway, we'll be looking forward to that one. And just to finish off our rugby chat, T, with no NEMS or Campo on for us today, I want to take it back a little bit to grassroots and sort of cross over with league and union again. We know the Hopewate family is probably one of the most talented rugby league families to ever go down in history, you'd say, with the amount of talent that they're in their family.
Oh, yeah. How many boys have played now? I think there's about four or five of them that are all played at the highest level, and their dad.
And their dad. And
their sister.
And their sister. And some played in the Origin under-19s on the weekend with their daughter as well. So there's...
How many kids are there? Is there 10?
400. I think it is 11. I think one of 11.
Will's the oldest of 11
siblings.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
So, you know, since Will has come on the show, I've been into him about making sure that his siblings and his cousins play both codes. Mate, just get them to play both, man. Increase their skill set, broaden their horizon, their opportunities to potentially go around the world and play.
So what you're trying to sell them was like, do not disconnect from rugby union.
Exactly. So
it wasn't play both. It was just please play, keep playing union.
Keep playing union, yeah. So trying to drift them more towards union. So his younger brother and his cousin, so I think, Devita and Monson.
Hopewate.
Yep. 16 years of age, very gifted. They are talented. And it took some convincing, I believe, from his dad and his uncles to say that they can play.
And you've watched these boys play.
Watched these boys play. For the limited amount of games that they've played in rugby, they've impressed me so much.
And they're leagueies?
Leagueies. But just the way they move with the ball. So they're playing the backs, backs, they're in the full
ball
back,
in space.
Ball in space, but they just move so well, very balanced on their feet.
Yep.
And they've picked up the game very quick. I even saw one of them pilfer at the breakdown. Like, you've been in the breakdown before. It's like a dark place to put your head in when someone's coming in to clean you out.
Yeah, I remember playing a school footy game, and it was one of those trials, and that was the one where, is it Jesse? Remember Jesse?
Liotta.
Jesse Liotta.
Yeah, Big Trevor's younger brother.
Yeah, so I remember he was playing, and I didn't know what I was doing. All I tried to do was go in the ruck and go and get the ball, and then I just felt all this pressure on my neck. I'm like, nah, get me out of here. This ain't it, man.
Oh, man.
Get me off this field right now.
I seen one of the boys put their head in a dark place and get the turnover. I was like, yes, you're a union man. But.
You get it.
You're ons. Keep doing that. But I think it's going to be short-lived.
Where'd that come from?
Well, it's coming from this.
We just built ourselves up and now you've just jumped off.
You know, it's about taking someone through the journey and you've got to bring them out. Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, man, come on.
What's happened?
They missed out on selection in this Sydney 16s team. You're talking about these guys made Sydney in league and they're part of this, like the New South Wales state team for league.
And then, like, so they played. No,
the 16s, the upcoming one that's coming up.
Yep.
I just couldn't believe they didn't make this team. And because our MAD pathway system is so confusing, it looks like the Japanese railway system. You've caught the train over there. You see the colour.
It took me a whole week to get it. Yep.
That's what the pathway system looks like. But they missed out on that. And just hearing the words from, his uncle and his dad just saying, union doesn't love you. Just stay in league. Don't worry about
it.
This
is coming from John Hopewate.
John Hopewate himself. I was like, they do. Why?
They do, but they don't.
They do, but they don't.
And they should have made it.
Oh, 100%, mate. 110%. They're very good because if I look at that Origin Queensland under-19s, I'm not Queensland. If I look at the New South Wales under-19s team, that played last night.
Yep.
But there was Anthony Large played Union at school. I seen Christian Moores, he played Union. Roman Tuamoa, he played Union. Who else was out there? Oh, Marcy Jacopo, who scored for New South Wales in that game, the centre, he was playing Union. There's so many out there. And then they start there, they want to play, and then they just go, I didn't make this team, I'll stay in league, and yeah, next minute NRL.
You think clarity with that pathway in rugby union would help players stay? And if there is like big games like State of Origins, they create it for the, in that pathway system, they're like, oh, there is a, there's interest to stay.
Yeah,
and whether if it means to go tour in Japan or tour in
France. Think that's probably the better way.
Yeah.
Have a clearer system, but then allows you to go overseas and play against their best.
Mm.
Can you imagine if you had your best New South Wales team with a clear system with those type of players then going over to play against Toulon, their best in their under 16s or 18s? Like, that's a game I would want to watch.
There was when I played at the Penrith Panthers junior system, every couple years they'd take a under 19s, under 20s team to the UK.
Is it the one where Masada nearly got kicked off on?
Yeah,
there was a few of them. Great man, Masada.
Yeah, a few of those. So Masada and Michael Jennings, they went on one tour. 2 years later, I got to go on the next tour. I was just turned 18, went over with the likes of Lachlan Coote, Wade Graham, Sam McKendry.
Oh, the names there.
And then, but that was like when you're a kid in a, in the Penrith system, so you're 14, 15, making these development teams, you're like, man, I want to get to that tour.
How good is touring?
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable tool to be able to plant the seed, like, I want to do this forever.
Mm.
And we've actually got next week or the week after, the Tongan under 16s girls and boys team, rugby league team, are coming out here to Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
To play, I think, Vave.
Sasai Vave,
former NRL player. Yeah, they're going to be playing against them, but those guys, when they come over, those girls and boys, when they have that experience of touring over to Australia, they're going to go, this is unreal.
That reminds me of a moment. We were sitting in London, and I went to one of the boys' rooms, Sonny Torgamala. He also played for the Sydney Roosters. We played together at Sydney Roosters, but we're there for the Penrith Panthers junior pathway system. We're sitting in his room in the middle of town in London, and we're just going, how cool is this, bro? Two kids from Western Sydney sitting in London, just sat there, high-fived each other and just took in this moment. And that was, what year was that? Was 2006. So we're saying 20 years ago, it's a memory that I still hold now.
Bro, it's one of the beautiful things that sport can have, not just in legal union, but sport where it can take you. And I'm with you. Like, we grew up out in Western Sydney, and then our under-19s World Cup was in Dubai. And like, we're on a bus in Dubai going to our game, and you're just pinching yourself that you're in this moment. And then, again, like guys like Kempisi Ma'afu, who, you know, played for Fiji but spent a bulk of his time in England and France playing. And then he talks about, you know, I just went to the Eiffel Tower. And you go, what? He goes, oh, yeah, it was just down the road from me. And you're just having those moments. And guys from the Pacific and girls from the Pacific now have this real opportunity to see the world through sport. And I think if we keep clearing up our pathway systems, we're going to provide more opportunities like that for people to, yeah, change the course of their life.
Were you just talking to Australia Rugby Union there?
I was just talking as a fan of rugby. But anyway, bro, it's a big game this week. Looking forward to it. It's just unbelievable that we've got so much sport happening. I know this is going to be a little bit different. We're digressing from league and union, but do you have a soccer team at the moment at the World Cup?
Oh, yes, I do. I will always be an England fan, living there for 7 years. And the old saying, it's coming home. It's coming home. So I'll go England, although Australia's also doing well. Yeah. I just love watching the stars like Messi.
Do you know what I love watching? I love watching the comment section in the Pacific, ABC Pacific socials. I said it on Fresh Off the Field yesterday. There's actually a Cook Islander playing for the New Zealand team.
Is it?
Can't remember his name off the top of my head, but there's two Samoans as well. But anyway, in the comments section, there were some of the Tongans and Samoans were claiming some of the big names over in the other teams. So Leka, it means junior in Tongan. So they go, yeah, don't forget Neymar Leka. He's playing for Brazil. He's Tongan. So I thought all of those names that our people are acclaiming. I thought it was pretty funny. But anyway, we'll keep the rugby league and rugby union chat alive. What do we have
Let's
next?
Let's get to Sala Tongatuki for the long story short. Nah, jokes.
Oh, yeah, Monday already. But let's get over to Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, it's time to hear from our NRLW superstar, Sala Tongatuki. She represents the Tigers in the NRLW. She's also played for the New South Wales Blues, the Jillaroos, and the Fetu Samoa. Sala, let's go straight to a State of Origin.
Let's go straight to it.
Wednesday evening.
You being a locker.
It blew yourself. How are you feeling after Wednesday night's loss to Queensland?
I'm gutted. I thought they were going okay for the start, but probably just left players like Payne and that off too long.
Yeah.
We lost momentum. The middle was just, we were looking loose in the middle.
Yeah.
And he probably needed someone like Uppy to come on and tidy that up. He's just got experience. We've seen the little efforts he does, making sure his blade, and that's how the middle's job. Like when you got a hooker like that, that's just putting effort to help get players on their back.
Yeah.
It just slows the ruck down a bit. But that's where Harry Grant took advantage of that. He was very deceptive around a ruck, and man, even just defense principles, everyone knows when you're attacking, the defense is going to always tell you what to do. And that was how obviously Collins got his try. He had Teddy at marker. Oh no, it was Cleary. He was at marker and he went straight hunting. Even though the ball hasn't passed him, and Harry saw that and he took it. So I reckon probably just tidying up our defence a bit better.
Yeah.
So we need players that get Origin too. It baffled me that, Holmuller didn't get a chance again.
Mm.
He had to add in for Noah another middle that punches really well to come on. He had back rowers that was in the middle. No offence. We probably, could have just needed a bit more, toughness there.
Just one with Holmuller. If he is to be selected in game 3, and I really hope he does get selected, they need someone like Holmuller. But do you think that him not getting selected in game 2 may impact, that Queensland spirit that everyone keeps talking about?
He said this on Monday.
Yeah, does Holmuller go in with that bit of oh man, he doesn't have faith in me, he didn't pick me in game 2, why would I have that spirit in game 3? Or he's nah, I'll come and prove everyone wrong.
I just back that he'll prove everyone wrong. Yeah. I feel like it was his first time as well, starting as a back rower. He had good efforts though. He didn't run the ball as much. That's where his game is, right? He's more dangerous when he's got ball in hand. But his efforts to get down there, kick chase and that, and to try and obviously limit them from getting yardage meters, he's that guy. We've seen it. And we just need players around him to believe that.
Mm.
That's what the Manly players are good at. I just feel like he should be given a chance. Maybe it was just trying to dust the cobwebs with the Origin arena, and hopefully game 3 that, he gets given that chance. Because, man, I'd want to be proving people wrong if I was him.
You're not wrong, dude. Sure. You're not wrong. Look, as a current player, when you watch a game like Origin, where does your attention to go towards when you're watching a game like that, to be able to help you within your game or what you pick up on?
I just look at before I used to just watch one or two players and try and mimic how they play, but now I'll look at efforts and that. I'll look at that, putting kick pressure on from when it's the last and they're about to kick. I'll be looking at getting down there with my teammates, creating that blue wall, no one gets through us mentality, and I'll be looking at putting my hand up when no one wants that tough carry. Mm. And there wasn't that many. I think Queensland did, there was that set where they back-to-back, they kept Blues inside 10, 5 metres probably at most. And you could have probably, I just thought, we just need players that are just willing to put their hand up just to take it for the team. So, that's what I'm looking at now.
The Blues will be travelling to Queensland in Brisbane for Game 3 at Brisbane Stadium. So, look, they've got a big task ahead of them. But what they do have is some weapons that may be available in Latrell Mitchell, Stephen Crichton, Tom Dvojevic, Liam Martin. So
there is some hope. You know, when you say those names,
there is some
hope. It actually does give you a bit of hope.
Yeah.
The saviors. Did you say the saviors?
Oh, wow.
Mao Sisu, come on, please.
So, yeah, we'll keep everyone up to date when those teams are selected in a couple of weeks' time. But let's shift over to the NRLW. We've seen there's been a couple signings from the great sport of rugby union.
Happy to be the academy for rugby league.
Do you want to fill us in with that news? Fill us in with that news, Sulla.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, Matty Ashby and Sarai Pucky, they've announced their departing from Sevens to now come to NRW. Sarai being with the Roosters and Ashby with Sharks. That shocked a lot of people.
I thought she was going to Canberra for sure.
That's correct.
She was
going
to join her fiance, KO Weeks, there at Canberra. But then when I saw the Sharks, he was like, holy, Tiana's got some pull there at the Sharks.
Honestly, their team's looking really dangerous. I'd be watching out for Sharks this season. But yeah, but the good thing about the girls is, Sevens is obviously where they've come from. But they originally played rugby league. They grew up in the grassroots rugby league here in Western Sydney. Ashby was with Collerton Colts. She was a Collerton Colts. She was a halfback playing for them. But given her game, I think she plays that. I don't know the sevens position well, but she does look to play that role there heaps. And I reckon she'll be a good 5'8" with Sharks and that.
Nice.
And they've got the halfback for Queensland.
Oh, Kitty
O'Rourke. She's Cook Island. Yes, that's Kitty. What she looks like. That's such a dangerous combo. Yeah. Shantae, yes.
Oh, so do you reckon that's where Matty Ashby will probably be best suited, playing 5'8", and Kitty Oratu playing in the 7 jersey?
Yeah, I can't see the coach going past Jada Taylor at fullback. She's always been a talk in that, when she was injured.
Cheers,
guys. Yeah, she's good.
There's some attacking threats there. Because Matty Ashby, I don't know her exact position in sevens, but what she does, but watching her play, she's very good in open space. Got a motor as well. She's so fit. So you talk about those effort areas before. Very good at scanning off the ball. And then when she wants it, bang, she'll get it. And then try and footwork, ball play, and get on the outside of her defenders. So I'd be keen to see how she goes.
You'd see that too, yeah. But it's interesting. Like, I reckon we could expect more players from sevens coming over.
Is that right? We've already got one. Is that right?
That's correct.
I wish I could disagree with you, actually.
Could be some more money coming over as well soon with a new broadcast deal.
That's correct.
I feel like the New South Wales Blues at the moment. Kick them when we're down. Holy.
And then...
They're full-time now at sevens, but word is they might go part-time. There's a bit of funding issues. Unfortunately, and I think that's why the girls have taken up, the opportunity to NRW. It's growing the game. So, yeah.
Well, then we also have a round 16 of the NRL this weekend, and we do have the Arona Cup where the Roosters will be playing the Sharks.
How many times a year do they play for the Arona Cup? I swear, I know I keep that's saying mad. Every time I see it pop up.
Nah, I reckon
it can't be Roosters Sharks again.
I reckon it'd be the Maloney Cup. Seeing that James Maloney got to win two the competitions with both clubs.
Now, but on Nation Footy, it is the Arona Cup.
I'm going to leave it. That's six of them.
What play are you looking forward to watching in this game? Roosters versus the Sharks?
Probably keen to see how Adam responds after, obviously, the Origin. He's backing it up. And, probably the Origin players that are all returning. I like to see how they back it up from Origin. But Tommy Talau, I think this is his debut for Roosters Club. And I'm keen to see how he goes up against Renato Mulitalo. I think it's a great opportunity for Tommy. Obviously, we know Renato, he's one of those wingers that goes looking for work all game. So that'll be a good battle to watch. I'm also keen to watch Mark Nawakinawasi. He just looks more comfortable.
So can you say his last name again? Can you say that?
Is it Nawakinawasi? Did I say right or not?
Say it again.
Nawanga ni tawase.
Oh, my day.
Mark, nawanga ni tawase. Don't worry. You won't be, you're not the first to get it wrong, and you won't be the last. But Marky will be coming up against Sione Katoa. I'm looking, unfortunately, Sione probably doesn't win in the height department. So, a big threat there. But what I love is, Tommy Talau versus Ronaldo. Ronaldo Mulitalo does have a mouth in him. So keen to hear that chat where they go back and forward. So, big game to look forward to. Who wins?
Yeah, it'll be a physical. I'm going with the Roosters.
The Roosters, are you?
Yes.
I think the Sharkies are on a 4-game win streak. I'm going to go the Sharkies on this one.
After that gritty win last week, I might be with you there, T.
So.
All right, boys. Bet's on. If I win, it's a donut.
A donut.
Barnacle Carlin donut from the Rona house.
All right, done.
Done. We'll
call it.
It doesn't matter who wins or loses. I just want a donut. Team makes it. Just make
yeah, me too. Please. I see Daniel with them all the time. I was like,
Shock. Daniel being my brother. Yep, shock.
Please, I want some donuts.
But all good. No, Salah, it's been a pleasure having you here on Nijan Footy Fridays, and we will see you next week. Have a great weekend. And
when's round one?
Yeah, I was going to say, are we...
Next week
got your
or the
trial
week after?
Next weekend. Not this weekend.
I'm
going
to try this weekend. So I've got captain's run tomorrow. Okay. And then I play on Sunday. It's hectic.
Who are you playing?
I was playing Dragons.
Tigers versus Dragons.
Oh, my memory's good. I remembered it was the Dragons.
Oi, good on you, Sammy.
It's good you remembered something. Well, all the best in your trial. Get after it.
Thanks,
and
boys.
Then we'll catch up and see how it all went next Friday on Knees and Footy.
Easy, boys.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
Yes, this is our Lock and Smoke. It's our version of our tipping comp. And we will pick a favourite being our lock and then a bit of a roughie being our smoky, the least favourite to win the game in both rugby league and rugby union. And we keep a score at the end of the year. The loser has to buy the winner a full course meal.
Oh, speaking of feeds, do you know who's very happy?
Yes.
Jacob from Nija Daily.
I was thinking about that. We've got a side with the Nija Daily crew. We have a wager on state of origin. And we've gone Blues, obviously, them being based in Queensland. I've gone Queensland and Queensland winning game
he
two.
He was so happy.
It's on the line. Very so anyway, let's get to Lock and Smoke, Sammy. Actually, what is the score?
It is.
I've got to be winning this one. The scores are 15-12 my way, Sammy. Last week, I lost against the Finn. No, you know, don't worry about last
week.
It's 15-12.
It's a new week.
Yep, let's go one team each for the grand final Super Rugby.
Okay. I did say the Chiefs. I think the hurt from last year is going to fuel them. Chiefs mana. Yeah, Chiefs.
Okay, you go Chiefs. I'll go the Hurricanes.
Oh, this is a lock off. Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, we're one. We play each other. So I'll go the Hurricanes. And the reason why, when I was young, grew up in Dunedin, the Hurricanes were always strong and they had the coolest outfits. Jonah Lomu play for the Hurricanes?
Yeah, 100%.
Jonah, Christian Cullen.
Oh, man, one of the GOATs at fullback.
Man Lonu.
Of course.
That was the yellow and black stripes?
Yeah, the stripe one, yeah.
Oh, that's why I'm going to the Hurricanes. I'm going Hurricanes to beat the Chiefs.
Okay, there we go. That's going to be a cracking game. I'm not 100% on it, but I'm locking it in.
Rugby league, who you got?
Rugby league here. Isaiah's playing?
Yep.
He is, so his knee's all good. Is that Campbelltown?
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, if he's playing, it's all good then.
Maybe.
Last time I trusted you. You sent me.
Are you going Dolphins?
Yeah, sorry.
All right, you going Dolphins?
I've got to go Dolphins over
and
the Tigers.
I'm going the Newcastle Knights to beat the Dragons.
All right, done. Do you want to wrap us up, my friend?
Yeah, let's wrap us up.
Do it.
Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Safe travels, my friend.
See you on Monday. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.